Historically, the control and manipulation of political opinion has been the Freemasons' main weapon in gaining control of countries and states. Once in control of the rulers and politicians of a country, laws and political structures could be changed in accordance with their agenda. However, since restricting the body does not necessarily mean restricting the mind, the Freemason recognizes that their plan for a global government hinges completely on subduing the masses to their agenda, and thus eliminating opposition to their cause. And the greatest threat to their plan, posing more danger than any army or law, is the threat of a free-thinking mind. In order to eliminate this threat and to achieve their objective, the Masons have set about the boldest plan ever devised: the complete control of every aspect of human life, your life. And the weapons they are using against you are in your very homes, entertaining you and your children, and gradually indoctrinating you without you even realizing. In today's society, people are spending more and more time engaged with modern media, television, cinema, computer games, the internet. Popular fiction and popular music are an integral part of our lives. Yet these provide a vast expanse on information which you are taking, either consciously or subconsciously, into your mind. Information on society ranging from ideals and morals and the difference between right and wrong to the way societies and economies should be structured is passed before you every single day. These media play a significant role in providing the basis for determining an individual's view of the world and everything that exists. Thus, any one group in complete control of this information placed on these media will in effect have the power to indoctrinate practically the entire populace of the world to their way of thinking. And it is this fact that the Freemasons are exploiting. The Masons are using the entertainment industry in particular to condition people to their way of thinking, either openly or subliminally. The methods they use vary, but the goal is the same: to impose their beliefs, their ideology and their objectives on you in such a way that you begin to think of them as your own. Evidence of their presence within popular entertainment is widespread. Masonic involvement in the industry is not a new thing. Hailed as one of history's great composers, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, a Freemason himself, composed a symphony which was an open display of Freemasonry. The symphony is based on a story taken from ancient Egyptian mythology of Isis and Osiris. The pagan rites of ancient Egyptian mythology form, through the Kabbalah, one of the fundamental aspects of Freemasonry. It is from these same pagan origins of Egypt that the symbol of the one eye stems. Evidence of the Freemasonic presence is also commonly found in the popular music of more recent times. Michael Jackson, hailed today as the king of pop, regarded as the greatest entertainer of all time, responsible for producing the best-selling album in the world, may not be known to be linked with the Freemasons. However, the cover of his Dangerous album has some interesting features. On it, the Freemasonic symbol of the one eye can be found, and also a picture of a watery lake behind which lay burning flames. It seems as though anyone entering into the water would really be entering into the fire. The cover also has on it a picture of a bald-headed man, well known to the occult as Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley himself was a Freemason who became a Satanist and wrote the book The New Law of Man, which stated in it that it would one day replace the Quran as the law of man. Links between Freemasonry and the occult do not end there. The products of the Masonically controlled music industry are riddled with subliminal satanic messages. Backtracking is the means of placing recorded messages into soundtracks in such a way that they only become intelligible when the track is replayed backwards. When it's played forwards, however, the listener would be totally unaware that a message is being played. Although the listener may be unaware, the subconscious mind can pick up and understand the messages, and in the long term, these can be stored in the subconscious mind and may actually affect a person's behavior or judgment. In many ways, backtracking is like a form of hypnotism or brainwashing and has the power to be very destructive. The first example of backtracking is from the famous female artist Madonna. It features on one of her most famous albums and is taken from the song Like a Prayer. Played forwards, the song sounds like this. However, as you will hear, it is not God that the prayer appears to be directed at, but Satan. When played backwards, the words, "O hear us, Satan," are clearly audible. Hear Freemasonic One Eye has also been featured on the video for one of Madonna's songs, where Madonna actually appears with the one eye coming out from her forehead. Madonna also appears on a video for one of her songs, where she is standing on some writing. Closer examination will reveal that this writing is actually Arabic, the language of the Quran. Another example of backtracking is taken from the group The Eagles, and the song is called Hotel California. And now the song backwards. The words "Yeah, Satan" can be clearly heard when the song is played backwards. As well as containing this message, the song itself is a story in its own right. The California of the song is not a hotel, but is actually a street in America called California. It is on this very street that the headquarters of a church were founded, but it was not the type of church that one may think. Instead, it is a church that some have called the Church of Satan. It was headed and founded by Anthony Sanz de Levy, the author of the Satanic Bible. It appears that the teachings of this church may have become the integral belief of many famous personalities in the entertainment industry. From rock groups to more mainstream artists, some have gone as far as promoting the church and its beliefs. One alleged member of the church is the lead singer of the Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger, who wrote the song Sympathy for the Devil. It seems that what originally started as a Christian organization later turned into a heretic religion, even for the Christians, and now has satanic elements mixed in. The entire entertainment world is rife with evidence of the Freemasons' presence. Openly or subliminally, their agenda and beliefs and ideals are propagated. This is especially evident within the film industry, on the big screen and the small screen, from big budget Hollywood films to simple cartoons. The Masons have not left anything to chance in promoting their message of a global government. Matt Groening, the creator of one of the most popular cartoon series in television history, The Simpsons, is a self-confessed anarchist. Matt Groening himself has openly declared that he wanted to get his own political ideas across within his work. But he wanted to do this in such a way that people would find it easy to accept his ideas. And the means he chose to this was a clever little cartoon called The Simpsons. So what exactly is The Simpsons teaching us and our children? There are many lessons being programmed into us. These include disregard for authority, either parental and governmental, that bad manners and disobedience is the way to attain status amongst people, and that ignorance is trendy and cool, whereas knowledge is unfashionable. However, what is especially worrying is the Masonic undertones of one episode in particular, the episode in which the father figure of the family, Homer Simpson, becomes obsessed with a group called the Stonecutters, or should it be called the Freemasons? Upon joining the group, his fellow members find a birthmark on him, a mark that makes the rest of the group declare him to be the chosen one.
You are the chosen one whom the sacred parchment prophesied would lead us to glory.
But with his newfound honor and dignity, he, Homer Simpson, fools himself into thinking that he is God.
I always wondered if there was a God, and now I know there is, and it's me.
Some may dismiss it as nothing more than a children's cartoon, a bit of harmless fun. But the influence it has on audience makes it a very effective means of propaganda, indoctrinating a people without them even realizing. Its very creators admit that they are propagating their political ideas to the audience in a covert manner. Ideas spread through the domestic television can reach a far wider audience than movies and cinema. And it is through this media that a new concept is being introduced. The concept of one global leader. Famous for his novel, The Jungle Book, Rudyard Kipling, another Freemason, wrote a book called The Man Who Would One Day Be King. This was later made into a big-budget Hollywood film, starring the likes of Sean Connery, Michael Caine, and Saeed Jaffery. The book is the story of two soldiers that journey to a country on the edge of India, a country that was once rumored to contain great riches, that once belonged to Alexander the Great. Upon reaching the country, the two soldiers are captured by the local inhabitants, a people called Kafirs, named after their country, Kafiristan. When the two men are about to be killed, a necklace is discovered around the neck of one of the soldiers. Engraved on it is the symbol of the Masonic One Eye. The Kafirs revere him as their god and attribute to him the divine attribute of immortality. The man himself first regards himself as a king, and then in his newfound power begins to regard himself really as being a god. From the Muslim perspective, if not that of others, the similitudes that can be drawn from this story are very interesting. The Muslim scriptures called Hadith contain many prophecies of the Prophet Muhammad. In these, it is prophesied that a man would arise from amidst the Kafirs, which means infidels in Islam, who would be recognized by his one eye and would be made a world leader, claiming first to be a king and then later to being God, and that he will seem immortal until an appointed time. In another film, the concept of a global leader and global government is also strongly propagated. In 1996, the film Independence Day broke all box office records, becoming the seventh highest ranking film of all time. It entranced audiences around the world with a fictional story of an alien invasion on Earth. However, deep within the film, subliminal messages can be found, indicating the Freemasonic presence and the Freemasonic agenda. In the film, there is a military base known as Area 51. It is from here that the military offensive is launched, on which the salvation of the whole world and the future of its inhabitants depends. The entrance to this installation is a pyramid, on which is engraved the symbol of the One Eye. The film shows the USA as the forerunner in establishing a global offensive, involving all the nations of the world, an offensive which is devised, controlled, and commanded by one man, one overall leader. The film is part of an upsurge of films and television serials on the topics of aliens, UFOs, and invasions threatening the whole of mankind. These are gradually fueling the growing interest and public unrest on the issue. This is just one of the many ways in which the Freemasons are paving the way for their global government. The Freemasons are using a number of approaches to drive fear into the hearts of the masses, instilling in them the need for greater protection, and thereby the need for greater security. A need that could only be fulfilled by a worldwide coalition government, protecting the interests of all human beings across the globe.
I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us?